Dive deep with us into the trenches of professional sports. From the electric charge of the hardwood to icy battles, the strategic plays, and to the global passion, we cover it all where no sport is left behind.
Join your hosts, Justin Williams, and myself, Nee Wallace Bruce, as we break down game strategies, dissect play performances, and give you the insider scoop on what's happening both on and off the field of play. We are the Pro Sports Podcasters. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review. Welcome back to the Pro Sports Podcasters. I am your host, Mr. Neolus Bruce, and we have a returning guest today. It's a bit of a, I guess you could say, an emergency pod, because in the city of Toronto, we're in a bit of a sporting emergency right now. The women are keeping their end up. The PWHL team is doing quite well in the playoffs, and there's a WNBA team on the way, but when it comes to the men's sports, it's a little bit of a worry. The Leafs are out of the playoffs. The Raptors were never in the hunt to make the playoffs. TFC are middling, but they have to get past Lionel Messi if they want to be successful, and that's an otherworldly feat. So it comes to the big hope of 2024, which is the Toronto Argonauts. Well, they were the big hope until their quarterback, Chad Kelly, was given a suspension for a minimum of 9 games. That came down late last week, so it just made sense to bring on returning guest, friend of the show, author, and historian of the Toronto Argonauts, Mr. Paul Woods. Paul, how you doing? Argonauts, Mr. Paul Woods. Paul, how you
doing? Thank you for having me, Nee. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on, and it would have been nice to have you on in, more pleasant circumstances, but it is what it is. Now, just to catch us up, it's the Argonauts they've pretty much told Kelly to be away from the facility and away from training camp. Is that correct, Paul?
I don't know that they've told him, but all they have said is that he is not participating in football activities, and they reserve the right to make further statements in the future. But for now, they're focused on the players in training camp who are available to be with the team.
Okay. And I guess from the Argonauts, it's clear that they're scrambling because the quarterback is the most important position on the field. You usually don't plan to go through a season without your starter. But at the same time, there are a lot of moving parts here. And optically, it's probably not a good look for the team and for the league. What's your take on how this situation has been handled overall?
I think it's been very problematic for the team and for the league. I mean, this has been, first of all, we've known about the allegations for several months. Lawsuit was filed early in 2024 by a former strength and conditioning assistant coach, alleging that she had been wrongfully dismissed and that she had been the target of sexual harassment from the quarterback, Chad Kelly. So that suit was filed. Eventually, after a couple of weeks, both Kelly and the Argonauts sort of denied the allegations, none of which have been proven in court. It's important to state. And eventually, they filed a written statement of defense. And as far as the lawsuit goes, I mean, it's now winding its way through the civil court system to be heard at some point. If it gets that far, if it's not settled in advance, I have no inside information about whether it might or might not be settled. But often civil cases are. Almost invariably, any civil lawsuit takes a long time to grind through the system because you just can't get a judge and to hear a case instantly. There's things ahead of you in the docket. So this has been going on for months. And as we headed towards training camp, there were a lot of questions on people's minds. What's going to happen with Chad Kelly? Is he going to be with the Argonauts this year? Is he going to be in training camp? And on the eve of training camp opening, on the eve of rookie camp opening last week, the CFL announced that they had received the results of an independent investigation that they had commissioned. And based on the results of that independent investigation, they had found that Kelly unequivocally violated the CFL's policy on gender-based violence. And accordingly, he would be suspended from participating in 2 preseason games and at least 9 regular season games, and will not be allowed to rejoin the team and play in games after those 9 games unless he completes training and is basically is tested to the league satisfaction to ensure, I guess, for want of a better word, to ensure that he gets it, that he realizes that he acted wrongly and that it won't ever happen again. That came down last, I think, Wednesday or maybe Tuesday. And on Thursday, and I may be getting the dates a bit off here, but I believe it was Thursday, rookie camp opened. And although Kelly's not a rookie, quarterbacks generally are invited to rookie camp because they need somebody to throw passes to these rookie receivers. And Kelly was on the field. He was not practicing per se, but he was on the team with the other, on the field with the other quarterbacks, which sparked quite an uproar. How can a guy be suspended but be on the field with the team? And as you say, he's the highest paid player in the league. He's the reigning most outstanding player. Every quarterback is the face of its franchise, and he is unquestionably the face of the Argonauts franchise. And he's facing this half-season minimum suspension for unequivocally violating the CFL's gender-based violence policy, for allegedly, for want of a better term, hitting on the strength and conditioning assistant coach, and a few other things related to that. And the Argonauts allowed him to be on the field, and that brought a torrent of criticism, led to an appearance by Pinball Clements, the general manager, which was not tremendously well received around the CFL by a lot of fans. Some thought it was a great statement by Pinball. Others were not satisfied. I personally am not happy with having Chad Kelly as the face of the Argonauts franchise. I'm on record as thinking that the Argonauts need to cut the ties with Chad, let him go, move on. So I don't think it's been handled. To go back to your original question, and I've gone on at a great length here, Nee, I don't think it's been reflected well on the CFL or the Argonauts. It's still not reflecting well on either organization at the moment, although he's now not on the field. They did announce subsequently on Sunday when main camp opened that he is not participating in football activities, and they later told journalists that he is not even at the training camp facility. So it's an attempt, I guess, at sort of minimizing the damage that was caused by having him there in the first place. And now we wait. We wait to see if Chad Kelly decides to appeal the suspension, which his agent has suggested is at least being contemplated. And all players under the CFL's collective bargaining agreement have the right to appeal suspensions. So it wouldn't surprise anyone if he were to appeal. And then if he does appeal, what do the Argonauts do? Do they keep him away from camp? Do they bring him back in and say until his appeal is heard, he can play? This is not over. This story is going to go on for some time. It seems like it's business as usual in Argonauts training camp right now with all the other players there and with different quarterbacks under center and leading those drills and so on. But there's still a big question. Is Chad Kelly going to be suspended for 9 games? Is he going to be suspended for longer than 9 games? Is he going to be an Argonaut? It was interesting in Pinball Clemens' appearance before the media last week. He was asked explicitly, do you foresee Chad Kelly being your quarterback in October? And he dodged, did not give a definitive answer to that, said he can't foresee what's going to happen. So it's possible the Argonauts are contemplating whether they want to have Chad Kelly be their quarterback going forward. Obviously, they've got a 3-year contract with them and it pays them a lot of money. So there's a lot of factors here. But there are some fans, at least some segment of the Argonaut fan base and some segment of fans and even executives around the rest of the CFL that don't think what they've done so far has been adequate. And some fans, including me, myself, think it's time to move on from Chad Kelly as the Argonauts quarterback.
Yeah, and I can completely understand that position. One thing that comes up in my mind, and perhaps you can educate our listeners, is would the Argonauts have cause to terminate the contract and not have to pay out Chad Kelly's remaining wages based off this situation?
That's a fantastic question. I don't know the answer. It certainly crossed my mind that it's not uncommon in situations of this sort. I mean, every situation is different. There may never have been a situation exactly like this, but certainly there have been other cases in other jurisdictions and other places where an organization has essentially claimed something amounting to breach of contract. I don't know the ins and outs of Canadian Football League players' contracts, what sort of clauses are in there about off-field behavior. We do have good, strong reason to believe that part of Chad Kelly's contract includes money specifically for the purpose of marketing the Toronto Argonauts. There's the league instituted a policy last year when they reached a new agreement with the Canadian Football League Players Association that a certain amount of money can be paid to players for the purposes of marketing and promotion that does not count against the salary cap. It's been reported that the Argonauts are paying or have already even paid possibly $100,000 to Chad Kelly for the purposes of marketing and promotions. Whatever marketing promotions are happening around this case, I don't think anybody could see them as positive. So are the Argonauts contemplating whether, getting out from under this contract could be done by claiming breach of contract or something similar? I think that's entirely possible, but I have no inside information about it.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you touched on other jurisdictions. I think for our listeners and for the fans at large, it is worth noting this isn't the first time that Chad Kelly has been in an off-field situation that has threatened his contract or football career. Let's not forget that Chad Kelly comes to Toronto with some baggage from his time in Denver in the NFL. He, for those who may not be aware, 2017 he was one of the reserve quarterbacks with the Denver Broncos. He went to a Halloween party, I believe hosted by Von Miller, and it's believed that he behaved in a way under the influence that was not appropriate, and the Broncos cut him. This is one of the reasons why he's in Canada in the first place. I think that's one of the things that is missed by the Chad Kelly truthers out there on social media that are saying this guy deserves a second chance. He's effectively going to be looking for a third chance here. What would you agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, it might even be more than a third. I mean, Chad Kelly's history goes back even, he had some issues in high school, apparently. I don't know many of the details of those. He was originally enrolled at Clemson University and had to leave that program after clashing with coaches. When he went to University of Mississippi, where he had a very strong career on the field, he got arrested. He later got into a fight at his brother's high school football game. The incident you've talked about with the Broncos, I think it's fair to say he was working his way up the depth chart with the Broncos and might very well have taken over as that team's starting quarterback not long afterwards. And instead, they just cut him. They cut ties almost instantly after he was found to be intoxicated in a residence near the party that he attended. He was eventually convicted of trespassing. He's had a number of chances. Certainly, a lot of people, it's good that people believe in the idea of second chances. Pinball Clemens, the general manager of the Argonauts, has been somebody who has espoused the idea of second chances, and he's given some second chances in the past to some football players who you might say were kind of shady characters in previous lives, and they came to the CFL and in most cases kept their noses clean and performed well and took advantage of their second chances. Coming to the Canadian Football League was probably Chad Kelly's last chance of being a professional football quarterback. I think the NFL had turned its back on him, even though I think it's fair to say he has NFL caliber talent. They just don't want that kind of trouble. And trouble seems to follow Chad around. And here we go. He took over as starting quarterback of the Argos last year. He seemed to be doing all the right things and saying all the right things. He led the team to an amazing regular season. 16 wins, 2 losses, tied for the best record in the history of Canadian football. He was voted the league's most outstanding player. Unfortunately, he had a terrible game in the playoffs, and the Argos were resoundingly trounced in a game where they were heavily favored. And then he later suggested that he had been suffering a concussion, which caused his bad play, even though I don't know that there was ever any corroboration on that point from anybody associated with the organization. And now this. So he's had a number of chances, and does he deserve yet another chance? I mean, I guess fundamentally that's the big question that the Toronto Argonauts are going to be thinking about and are presumably thinking about right now. Can we see our way clear to ride out a 9-game suspension with our most important player and then welcome him back into the fold and hope and assume that he has cleaned up his act and we will have no further things that bring a black eye on the organization? That's a question that they can only answer. My answer is already on the record on that one.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. You would be with your knowledge and intimate knowledge of the club and its history. Let's face it, they just come off a 150th anniversary. This is not something you want to have lingering. So it is interesting that it kind of took this long for both the league and the team to respond the way they did. And the fact that it's still not over yet. I guess from a football perspective, if that loss in the Eastern Final to the Montreal Alouettes in 2023 was Chad Kelly's last game in Toronto colours or even in the CFL, that would be quite a damp way to end what was a promising career in the CFL. But that was brought on by, this decision that he made off the field. No one pushed him to make that decision.
Well, it's interesting, Nee, that you brought up, the 150th anniversary. And I was reflecting on this a week ago, that at that time, I said, turn back the clock 52 weeks. Argo fans were eagerly anticipating the Grey Cup banner being raised in the opening game of the 2023 season after the team won a Grey Cup in 2022. Thanks in part to Chad Kelly, it must be stated. He came into the game in the fourth quarter after the starting quarterback, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, got injured, and he helped the Argos score the winning touchdown. He made one amazing play in that game that helped them score that winning touchdown. They won the Grey Cup. The banner ceremony was coming as training camp started. The players were being receiving their gaudy, beautiful, expensive Grey Cup rings. We were just about to embark on a season-long celebration of 150 years of Argonauts football, an amazing feat. I mean, I noticed this week that the New York Giants and the NFL are just celebrating their 100th anniversary. The Argonauts are 50% older than that, and they've had a proud history going back to 1873. We had new players coming into camp last year at this time. We were excited to see them. Everything seemed to be great for Argo fans. Now we got into the situation a week ago where the Argonauts social media team was almost silent during the opening of rookie camp. Every other team in the CFL is pouring out content about the training camp and the new players and the returning players and the excitement of a new season. And the Argos couldn't do anything because this Chad Kelly cloud was hanging over their head. It's an utterly abysmal situation for the team to be in. Here we go. You're right. We don't know if Chad Kelly has played his last game or not. If he has, It'll be a sad thing for him. It'll be a sad thing for fans in many ways because he's a talent. He's a very, very good and exciting player. If he hasn't, there's going to be some segment of fans, both of the Argonauts and of around the league, who are going to be very upset to see him on the field. So there's almost no win here.
Yeah, you're right. And I've got to call it out. I think we're both thinking it, but I'm going to say it. It would be, I personally would think it's a little bit embarrassing if for a league that has a dedicated women's round that is trying to lift up women in the league, and to have Kelly on the field, you would be if, I get that there is a legal process to be taken here, but that would be taking the position of ignoring the position of one of said women in the league at the time. That's something that shouldn't be missed here. And I hope that the league maybe takes this as a learning moment, because it's one thing to be promoting things, but you also need to show through your other actions that you're trying to promote said things, if that makes sense.
It does. You know, the league has made a big display in recent years of touting itself as a diverse league. Diversity is strength is the motto that they've used. They have taken very positive initiatives to bring women into the sport. It must be noted that, you know, this whole situation is unfolding at the same time as professional women's hockey is exploding in interest in Canada. Women's basketball is becoming massive. Women's soccer is becoming massive around the world and in North America. Women's sports and women being a part of the sporting conversation is finally here. It took generations, but it's finally happening. And here we've got the situation where, you know, it looks like there's been a tone-deaf response to inappropriate sexual behavior by one of the oldest, maybe the oldest sporting professional sporting team professional football team, at least in North America. I want to state as well two other points. One is that there have been some women around the CFL who have spoken out about this. A league executive who's involved with content spoke out about it. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers branding director spoke out very strongly against the Argonauts' handling of this situation. And I'm going to say one more thing. As the father of a young woman who is as fanatical about the Argonauts as I am, my season ticket partner, who has had some of the most exhilarating moments of her life of being around Argonauts things, and she can't fathom how she could cheer for Chad Kelly. I can't either. I don't see how I could turn away from that and think, he's righted the wrong. He's my quarterback. I'll go and cheer for him. If he's on the field after 9 games, I don't know what I'm going to do. Am I going to even go? I don't know. Am I going to turn my back? Am I going to sit quietly? I don't know. It's a real conundrum.
Yeah. And fans shouldn't have to be taking sides like that. This is where leadership, if you will, should come in and lead with the decision. Now, we have heard from the general manager, Pinball Clemens. I know that MLSC, the owners of the Argonauts, have a new CEO, but he's up to his neck in trying to, you know, make the Leafs better again. I believe he took the job on the promise that he would be able to manage the Leafs and get his hands dirty with that. So, we probably won't be hearing from him. It is interesting that Bill Manning is still the CEO of, sorry, still managing both the Argonauts and Toronto FC. Do you think with the change at the top of MLSC that might change, that we might still see Manning shifting to focus solely on TFC and maybe someone else running the Argonauts, or maybe Pinball Clemens or someone else elevated to look after those affairs in a presidential capacity?
I would like to see the Argonauts have a full-time president. Absolutely. This has been an ongoing concern for Argo fans going back. I guess it's got to be 6 years now since Bill Manning had the Argonauts handed to him as part of his portfolio. He was already the president of TFC. And then when the Argonauts came under the MLSE umbrella, they handed the Argonauts to him as well. My fervent belief is that Bill Manning devotes the vast majority of his time to TFC. That's not surprising. It's probably not even a stupid thing to do, because TFC is a growing venture that you know, for better or for worse, seems to be appreciating in value. Some reports suggest that the franchise value might be in the $650 million range. Magnitudes of greater value than the Toronto Argonauts have as a business venture at the moment. Whether Keith Pelly, the new CEO of MLSE, would want to make that change, I don't know. Keith Pelly, of course, is a former president of the Toronto Argonauts back 20 years ago. He ran the club, and he was a very popular president among the fans, and the building that they played in at the time, Rogers Center, which I prefer to call Sky Dome, had pretty big crowds for a few years when Keith was there. Some people believe that a lot of those crowds were papered and that they weren't actually tickets sold, but nonetheless, it turned around a franchise that had been in really bad way for the previous three or four seasons and had even been on the verge of bankruptcy at one point. So you'd like to think Keith Pelly has some sort of level of affection in his heart for the Toronto Argonauts and would like to see any problems like this solved in a clean and an appropriate way. But realistically, Keith Pelly, the Argonauts are a fly speck on Keith Pelly's to-do list. He's got a basketball team that is a disaster on the court, but has the franchise value of about $4 billion and growing. He's got a hockey team that is quasi-disaster on the ice, although they're always good in the regular season. They can never do anything in the playoffs, and fans are demanding that something be done about it. They have won the Stanley Cup since 1967, and they're worth $2 billion or $2.5 billion. And TFC is this growing venture in a sport, soccer, which is really growing globally. So the Argonauts in the little 9-team Canadian Football League is not a high priority for Keith Pelly. I would imagine he barely even spoke about the Argonauts in any of his conversations with the headhunters or anybody on the board of directors when he was talking about coming in for this job. Do we think he'll solve the problem by giving them a dedicated president? I sure would love to see that happen. I do think Bill Manning should have been the one at making the public statement that Pinball Clemens made last week. I don't think the head of football operations should be out there talking about a lawsuit and the availability of a quarterback who's been suspended because of being found to have unequivocally violated the CFL's gender-based violence policy. I don't see how that falls on the arms and the shoulders of a football general manager. Pinball Clemens he made a point of saying, if anybody's to blame, I am. I'm the boss. But I don't think anybody would blame Pinball Clemens for what happened. And I don't think Pinball Clemens was fully prepared for making the statements that he made. He did. We all love Pinball. He's been a legend in this community for 35 years. He's the greatest Argonaut in the history of the Argonauts. But he said a few things during his availability that I was just beside myself. As wrong things to say, this was a workplace incident between two people, and these things happen in workplaces. We have some women employees. It was just shocking to me that happened. You'd like to think that if the president of the team had been up there, maybe it would have been handled a bit differently. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe Bill Manning would have said things that I would have been equally outraged by. But the fact that the Argonauts don't have a full-time president certainly isn't helping the situation. It may not be the cause. It's not the cause, but it's not part of a solution either, in my opinion.
100%. And yeah, the leadership is definitely required at the top. Now, I wanted to, I guess, get a little bit hypothetical here. Let's live in a world where Chad Kelly doesn't come back. He's suspended for the 9 games, and then they have a new quarterback who plays the full season for the Argos. Given the way that the Argos started so hot in 2023, and then they kind of fizzled out at the end, well, especially in the Eastern Final, do you think having to go through some adversity and have to really regroup as a team and as a franchise, that might actually help the team to be focused compared to last year?
It's funny, Nee, I felt all through the 2023 season that this is just too easy. We're not facing any adversity whatsoever. And when it finally came, it came at the worst possible time in the playoffs, and the Argonauts and Chad Kelly were not ready for it. In the 2022, the Argonauts won the Grey Cup, and there was a lot of adversity throughout that journey, and it helped them win that Grey Cup. So yes, I do believe adversity is needed by any team that wins a championship. You cannot sail through an entire season without anything going wrong. Something's going to go wrong sooner or later, and how you handle it will have a lot to say about how well you successfully, achieve your goals of winning a championship. I don't think there's any chance the Argonauts are going to go 16-2 this year, but they've still got lots of good players, including some new ones. They lost some very good players as well over the course of the offseason, but they've gained some new ones who I'm very excited to see play. And while their quarterbacks that are in camp right now are not very experienced, one of them at least looked very good when he played last year in the latter part of the season in place of Chad Kelly, when the Argonauts didn't need to play Chad Kelly because they'd already wrapped things up. And the other one, Brian Scott, I'm talking about Cameron Dukes, is the guy that would be the favorite to be the number one quarterback at the moment. The guy that's number two going into camp, Brian Scott, was very highly sought after by the Argonauts for a couple of seasons before he arrived last year. And I think he's got lots of potential. So, yeah, I think if we're going to be hypothetical about a season that plays out without Chad Kelly at quarterback, I believe the Argos will be in contention. And it would not shock me at all if they go very far into the playoffs and potentially even win the Grey Cup.
Okay. Well, to that end, you mentioned quarterback Dukes. I do remember him being on the field a number of times in the 2023 season. And he actually worked quite well with the then running back, AJ Ouellette. But I believe AJ is now in Saskatchewan. Is that right?
Yes, AJ Ouellette went to Saskatchewan. A number of big name players left as free agents. Guys, when your team is 16-2 and everybody at every position practically is an all-star, you can't pay them all. There's a salary cap in this league, and there was no way they were going to be able to keep that entire roster together. Guys left and are getting paid a lot more than they were getting paid by the Argonauts last season. AJ Ouellette just being one of about half a dozen or so examples of that. But they've got some good replacements in store. They've got a very good replacement for a couple of good replacements potentially for AJ Ouellette. The Argonauts are going to be strong at basically every position. I think the weakest position on paper right now is quarterback, because they've got the least experienced starting quarterback in the league. But they've also got probably the best offensive line in the Canadian Football League, and they're all tied up to long-term contracts. They're going to have a very strong running attack, as they did last year with AJ. They've got very good receivers. They've got very good players on defense. I'm not worried about the team being competitive. I know they won't win 16 games, but I think they'll win more than 9 games, and they'll be a playoff team. And if they were to win 12 or 13, I would not be shocked at all.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is some smash mouth football might be in the future of the Argonauts. Maybe some run pass options for Cam Dukes, particularly at least for the first nine games.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, you know, please understand, I'm not comparing him because Doug Flutie was the greatest quarterback in Canadian football history. But Cam Dukes has a little bit of Doug Flutie in him in the sense that he can scramble and he can improvise. And I'm really excited to see what he can do over at least the first nine games of the season and possibly beyond.
Yeah, and let's say the Argonauts are 5-4 or anything above that, just keep him in there. Just when you have that continuity and those reps, just keep him in there. Like, it's at that point.
Well, you know, one of the things that they're going to have to come to grips with here is that if in fact, let's assume that Chad Kelly does serve the 9-game suspension, and let's assume that the Argonauts do want to embrace him and bring him back into the fold after the 9 games. That's going to cause a bit of a circus, right? I mean, there was a bit of a circus last week when people were there seeing him on the field, and it caused an uproar around the league on Twitter and places like that. What's going to happen when the Argos get to about game 8, game 9, and suddenly, you know, Chad's back practicing and the questions are being asked of Coach Ryan Dinwiddie, who's going to be the quarterback in week 10. Right. If they're 5-4 or 4-5, or even if they're 3-6 or 2-7, you know, is there going to be a clamor to bring Chad Kelly back? There probably will be from some contingent of the fan base. And there will also be a clamor from some other contingent of it to not put him back in there and wishing that he wasn't even coming back. So it's going to be a media circus. It's going to be a zoo. It could add to the adversity that the organization would face. So, you know, maybe not a bad thing if it were to happen, but I don't think it's going to be a quiet reentry if he ends up back on the field at some point.
Indeed. Now, this thought just crossed my mind because if I'm not mistaken, 9 games would be, we're talking August, perhaps, definitely before September for a return. Could there be a world where Chad Kelly is then traded? Would another team entertain trading for this guy?
I would tend to think not, just in the sense that I don't know that any team would want to take on the baggage that the Argonauts are currently carrying from the segment of society that thinks this is wrong, what he did is wrong, and they should not be rewarded by being allowed to keep playing. It's got to be a real public relations black eye for any other organization. Is there another one in this league that would want to do that? I don't see it. I mean, obviously, it's hypotheticals, right? If a team were to lose its starting quarterback and its backup quarterback and had the cap room to accommodate a guy with Kelly's salary, and maybe, you know, a swashbuckling coach or general manager who's willing to sort of stare down their critics, maybe. But I really don't see it being very likely, no.
Well, we will watch this space. As you said at the top, it's not over. It's far from over. There's a number of moving parts here, and we definitely haven't heard the last on this one. Paul, It's been a pleasure to have you on, and it's always great to have your insights on the Argonauts and on the league. Where can our listeners find you on social media if they want to find out more about the team, your books as well, and other projects you may have on the go?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'm working on a book. I mean, I meant to say at the outset of this, I probably should have, that I am not a completely unbiased observer on this point. I'm a big fan and good friends with Chad Kelly's predecessor, McLeod Bethel Thompson, who was the Argonauts quarterback, starting quarterback in 2021 and 2022, the starting quarterback in the 2022 Grey Cup, who had to leave the game in the fourth quarter because of an injury. McLeod Bethel Thompson has an amazing story that I'm planning to tell in my next book. It's a story that goes far beyond his time in Toronto, although his time in Toronto is a remarkable part of the book that Argonauts fans and CFL fans are going to find really fascinating. That's in progress. I don't know yet when that's coming out. I haven't yet even found a publisher for it, but I'm working on that. People that want to follow me can find me on Twitter or X, as it's now called, at PXW13. I'm on Facebook. Anybody that wants to get in touch with me directly, I don't mind receiving emails, paulwoods13@gmail.com. I did publish a couple of previous books about the Argonauts, and throw a plug in here if I can. Year of the Rocket came out in 2021 as a look back at the 1991, the crazy year of 1991 when the Argonauts were owned by John Candy, Wayne Gretzky, and Bruce Bignall, when they outbid the NFL for the most highly touted college player at the time, Rocket Ismail. They won one of the most memorable Grey Cups, the coldest Grey Cup of all time. Rocket Ismail scored the kickoff return touchdown in the fourth quarter, almost got beaned by a frozen beer can. It's all in Year of the Rocket, and you can find that in bookstores anywhere. Prior to that, in 2013, I published a book called Bouncing Back from National Joke to Grey Cup Champs about the 1983 Argonauts, which was a team that is near and dear to my heart. I first got Argo season's tickets in 1981, and that happened to be the worst year in team history, 1981. 2 years later, with many of the same players, they won the Grey Cup to end a 31-year drought. So that story is told in Bouncing Back. You can't find that one in bookstores because I self-published it, but you can find it online. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it if you go to lulu.com and search for Bouncing Back, or contact me directly. I've always got a few copies around. I'm happy to meet up with people and sell them copies of either book. So thank you for asking.
You're most welcome. And thank you for your time, and thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll catch up again during the season. There's a lot of football ahead of us, and that's something that we can always look forward to in the warm months in Canada. Some good old three-down football.
Yeah, I love talking to you, Nee. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and I'd look forward to coming back on at some point in the future.
Indeed. And that's the game. We've reached full time on this episode of Pro Source Podcasters. Your enthusiasm and support drive us forward, and for that, we're really grateful.
If you've enjoyed today's journey through the thrilling world of sports, please consider leaving us a review. Your feedback not only helps improve us, but also connects us to the community.
So don't forget to visit our website at prosportspodcasters.com
for exclusive content, episodes, and the latest updates in the realm of professional sports, where no sport is left behind.